Welcome to First Turn, where we play board games for the first time and discuss our immediate reactions. It's like book club, but for board games. I'm Eric, and with me is Kiwi and BP.
Hello.
Hi.
Today we're going to be playing The Grim Forest, designed by Tim Eisner, developed by Ian Allen, and the artist was Noah Adelman of Endeavor, Age of Sail, Gugong, Vindication, Between Two Castles of Mad King Ludwig, and My Little Scythe, which we've played, and a lot more. And also Lena Cossette and David Forrest. It's published by Druid City Games. The description from the rulebook is, King Reginald the Greedy has plans to develop thousands of acres of land in the mysterious Dark Grim Forest. His heart is filled with avarice and he thinks of all the gold that he can fill his own treasure room with once the land is cleared and the building begins. Unfortunately, the royal builders, also known as the Three Little Pigs, have grown old and senile, and the last building plans they presented him were a series of houses shaped like pumpkins. After a falling out with some elderly and cantankerous pig brothers, the king is on the hunt for some competent enough to design basic housing units, using only the standard materials from ancient times. Nephews and nieces of the famous pig brothers have started flocking the royal palace, eager to prove their skills. The contest is simple. Whoever can build three houses quicker than his or her opponent will gain the title of royal builder and their fortune will be made. The mechanics are set collection, simultaneous action selection, and take that. And the box is some art of an evil witch type person overlooking a book, characters on the book, some mice. Basically, characters from Grimm stories on a table with the book.
Yeah, I think what's interesting is like it's got a bunch of other characters on it other than just the three little pigs.
In fact, there are no little pigs, are there?
Yeah, on the book. Yeah, so you got the big bad wolf, you got the evil witch, looks like maybe a fairy godmother,
mm-hmm.
Little Red Riding Hood, and then Puss in Boots.
Yeah.
Is Puss in Boots a Grimm
tale? I don't know.
I didn't realize. Paxton says, yes, Puss in Boots is a Grimm fairy tale.
And the three little pigs are kind of the minor part of the
artwork.
Yeah,
they're definitely the smallest of all the...
So yeah, based on all that, would you pull it off the shelf?
I'd pick it up. It looks, the cover looks interesting. The art looks kind of cool.
Yeah, I mean, fairy tales are also rather interesting.
Yeah, plus I'm curious to see, like, is it just the three little pigs or are there more, like... Grimm fairy tale characters in here.
Yeah, based on the art, I would expect it to be like a more multi fairy tale thing, but the description.
Based on the title, I was too.
Yeah, that too. The title and the box. I mean, the title's on the box, but.
as it typically is.
It's a good choice by them. But that description, first of all, when you go that hard on a description, you know, you better live up to your theme. So I got high expectations.
The mechanics sound interesting, too. I mean, I think we do enjoy the simultaneous action as well as take that. So,
yep. And set collection. So I think it's interesting. I'm glad they use the word avarice. That's a good word.
I don't even know what that means.
It's like greed.
I'm Googling it. Oh, yeah.
I'm glad you had to Google that and check your wife on
I was already
her vocabulary.
When you said something. I was already in action.
Oh, my wife is smart. Huh.
Sure, I already knew that.
Well, based on the description and the title.
Yeah, I want some pig history.
Well, so I mean, I hadn't gone straight up pig history, but in fact, first I was like, ooh, this could go, depending on the description, one of several ways, you know, kind of the history of the Grimm fairy tales, but also this idea of the forest. And especially when I talk about like how medieval Europe actually was like covered in forests, it was about the 12th century that there was like a population growth and many of the forests were cut down. But until then, like the stories that you hear that the Grimm brothers did collect in the 19th century, you know, based on these kind of folklorish fairy tale, folk tale stories that had been told, like they all feature, right, that dark, dangerous forest. And that's because, like, the forest was dark and dangerous. And even, like, into the 19th century, there were stories, speaking of big bad wolf, of wolves, like, rampaging around, you know, the countryside and not just taking out, you know, flocks of sheep or, you know, some of your animals, but also like your children or even grown men. And so like these stories, as many of us know, were designed to a certain extent instill some fear, because the forest was real and it was scary. And what I found interesting was the Grimm brothers actually didn't do their collection until the early 19th century, which from a historical context is pretty interesting, because that's kind of post French Revolution era, about the same time that Napoleon was spreading, which many scholars also equate to the rise of nationalism. And so throughout like this turn into the 19th century and throughout the 19th century, there is this inquisitive look into like various regional and nations' pasts, and especially looking at like kind of peasants and these kind of, as we would call them, like folk art, folky things, to find like a identifying culture that people who were forming nation states at the time. So in both aspects, like the medieval aspect, the stories fit together, and then in the kind of collection, set collection, if you will, of those stories.
Oh,
yeah. Did you like that?
Yeah.
Oh, I liked it. Okay, good. right. It fits into that 19th century kind of consolidation point. So there you go. Your history lesson for both medieval and nationalism.
Well, I was about to say, what were the rules about the woods in myths and legends? It's like, don't go into the woods. If you have to go in the woods, don't go to the woods at night. I feel like there's another one.
The kid. Yeah, the kid should have them.
Oh, and have an army of bears and bribe with cake.
Yeah, pretty much avoid strange creatures in the forest.
Also, is it weird that when you said wolves taking children, the first thing that popped into my head was a dingo ate my baby? All right, you guys want to know how to play? All right. The game is going to be played over a series of rounds, and each round is broken into three phases. So we're going to have the gather phase, the build phase, and the cleanup phase. And the game ends when at least one player has built three houses of any type on their board at the end of a build phase. So the first player for this game
is chosen by
the person who most recently ate bacon.
I thought you were going to say babies.
No.
Oh, yeah. I was like, wow. Terrible. They went all in on this theme.
Yeah, that's terrible. So I had bacon on the 5th of January because we had one slice left after I came back from the holidays.
That is probably the most recent, because I think the last time I ate bacon was over Christmas.
I had a bacon cheeseburger last night.
Okay, Eric wins. The first player with his bacon cheeseburger. Okay, so
now I'm hungry.
The first phase is the gather phase. During the gather phase, each player is going to secretly select one of the cards from their hand that corresponds to one of the gathering locations. So we have the fields, which you get straw, the forest, where you get wood, and the brickyard, where you get bricks. In a four-player game, there's also a fourth location, the market. But in a three-player game, we're not going to have that one. If you have fable cards, you can also play those. You can play one if you wish to. Once everybody is chosen, players will then reveal their cards. Fable cards with a when revealed action will be activated and played out in turn order. Some of the fables will have a monster icon, and so you'll get to move that monster per what the card tells you. The pigs that end up alone at a location will take all the resources there, and pigs in groups will divide the resources rounded down, and any leftover resources will stay at the location. And then we go into the build phase. So in the build phase, in turn order, each player is going to pick an action and perform it. And the phase will end when every player has performed two actions. So the actions you get to do are, you can draw a fable card, and there is no hand limit. Fable cards are either, that's where the take that portion of the game comes in. You can gain a resource from the supply, and there's no limit to the number you can have. Or you can build house sections. So there are three sections to each house, and total it's going to cost you 12 resources. So floors cost 2, walls cost 4, and roofs cost 6. So there are a couple of rules. The house has to be built from the ground up, which seems self-explanatory, but it actually says it in the rule book. So I thought I'd bring it up. You can work on multiple houses at the same time, but before you can start a house of the same resource, you have to finish your first one. So you could have a house of each type, but you can't start a second straw house until you finish your first. And then there's a limit. You can only have five houses being built on your board at a time. And then the first person who finishes a house of that resource will get the builder bonus, which will either let you take one of each resource, draw two fable cards, or draw a friend card. So there's also friend cards. The friend card is drawn. You can either keep it, discarding the one you have if you have one, or you can give it to another player, which forces them to discard their current friend card. And all the friends have different special abilities, and they can also provide you additional actions in the build phase. And then at the end of the build phase is when we would check to see if anybody has three houses. And then finally, in the cleanup phase, the starting player token is going to be rotated clockwise. Everyone gets their pigs back. All the gather locations are replenished from the supply, and then leftover resources remain on the board. And then we go into the next round. And then I will bring up the one tiebreaker at the end of the game. If two people have built the same number of houses, have built three houses, the tiebreaker is the pig who has built the most sturdiest houses. So brick houses are the sturdiest, followed by wood and then straw. So the example they give is someone has built two brick houses and a straw house, and then the other person has built one brick house and two straw houses. The winner would be the person with two brick houses. If that makes sense.
Yes.
So let's play.
We just finished a game of Grim Forest, and to recap, we all started our houses of each type. I had a wood and straw house completed, but then BP sent the big bad wolf and took out my straw house, so thanks for that. And BP finished her wood house, so technically we tied at the end, and Kiwi won with three houses, one of each type.
Yep.
So winning strategy, I'll go ahead and fill in. Everything always works for Kiwi.
Yeah, I think I mean, my strategy was just to gather resources, and I think I lucked out because you guys kept doing stuff against each other.
So BP and I always think alike and kept going to the same places while Kiwi freely ran around and gathered stuff. And then yep. I tried to sabotage him, and every time it backfired and hurt me instead.
Yeah, I mean, when we played the wolf, we all played monster cards, and unfortunately, I was not thinking when I played mine, and I was going to try to play it against Kiwi, but should have looked at his board first before I put down my own cards. But anyway.
Yeah, there are a couple other things where I was like, I'm going to make you switch cards, and it worked out for it.
Yeah.
Pretty much, yeah. What was your actual strategy, Kiwi?
Yeah, I think he said he was just going around gathering.
Yeah, I was going to say, we all did seem to go for one of each different type of house, which I feel like you could. I was actually going to maybe like, I'm going to focus on the stronger houses first. But then I guess just the way the game works is you kind of spread out.
Yeah, I mean, I think what you could have done is just kept going straw the whole time and hope that nobody else, like somebody was going to go for your strategy of build stronger houses first.
Right.
And then just because with straw, I mean, you need, like within three turns, you could have all of a straw house and then starting a second straw house.
Okay, you could rush to win with it, I think.
Right, because you could get more resources from it. Even if somebody else went to your spot, you still get at least two. So it would take a little bit longer, but...
And if you had like a good friend card that somehow... Like if you had my friend card, which I had one that let me get two resources before splitting them, you could probably get the straw pretty quick.
And that was one thing we messed up was the walls. When you build walls, you're supposed to collect a friend card. And we didn't do that until probably closer towards the end of the game.
So, huge asterisk on that win for Kiwi.
like all my wins.
All right. So how about the theme? Let's start with Kiwi.
I thought the theme went well together. I feel like, well, I don't know. So
yeah.
With the friend cards that we had, I was kind of hoping that they would be more like closely associated, or not maybe not closely associated with, but have more in common with their story.
Right.
I feel like they did, though.
Well, Red Riding Hood did because she was related to wolves, but.
I mean, Snow White made seven friends.
Well, Snow White, though, was all players who share their location must give you a fable card of your choice. If they cannot, they must give you a resource. So that's Snow White taking something from other people, which.
Cinderella let me gather resources more quicker. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if it would have been possible, but, you know.
Yeah. I like the idea of it. Like, I felt like, you know, the Grimm stories do provide you a lot of characters. So it gives you a lot of options to create those friend cards and then a lot of options for the different fairies or fables.
Yep.
The monsters.
Yeah. So I feel like all the pieces, you know, fit with the Grimm. So like fairy tales. So that theme is good for, you know, building a game like this. I just wish that some of the cards had more in common with their like story to try and make it a stronger connection. But I liked the theme. I thought the theme was good. And I felt like the game, the three little pigs gathering resources to build houses. And I do enjoy that we got to play the big bad wolf and somebody's had their house blown down. So,
yeah, because it wasn't yours.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I think that the theme is good. I think they should have maybe just scaled it down and been like, you know, a three little pigs theme rather than trying to be so broad scoped. Because like our player boards are different. Like I have Rapunzel, Kiwi has Jack and the Beanstalk, but I mean, other than the friends, those don't really come into play, I guess.
Oh, I guess the one we didn't play is Hansel and Gretel.
I don't know what BP's is. Something snowy.
I mean, I thought it was Frozen, but the Ice Queen.
I think Hans Christian Andersen is who Frozen is based off of.
But yeah, so I mean, it kind of works, but. Maybe they're thinking like expansions, they'll add in more of the other stuff, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it have been interesting if they had written the cards as like less like rule based and been like more story? This may have been difficult, but like imagine if like, you know, you drew a fable card and it read like a fable with the rules like embedded in it somehow.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, I feel like what you're saying, what I'm saying are very similar in that. The theme was there. The theme was good. But at the same time, there could have been points where game design could have more strongly brought the theme into the game.
BP?
I was just going through the list of stories in the Grimm fairy tales, and there are tons. Oh, yeah. I mean, just think about like myths and legends, how many times they cover, you know, one or the other. He's got how many seasons of podcasts going with that thing, or years, I should say. So, yeah, I think it would have been real difficult, but I agree, like, it could have been just then maybe the three little pigs focused on that. But I think, like, in general, like, with the mechanics and how it all flowed, it captured the description of it, at least. But I think at the beginning, we were also a little apprehensive. The description was very three pigs focused. Was the game going to be very three pigs focused? And I think we all decided that, yes, it was.
Yep.
Was 1001... Arabian Nights with Aladdin, that wasn't Grimm, was it?
No.
Yeah, so no. I have in my hand right now, I have two fable cards. One is the magic lamp and the other one is the genie. So I have a feeling this is more than just Grimm fairy tale. So it's possible that BP's player board is Frozen or whatever Hans Christian Andersen story Frozen was based on. So I think it's more than just the Grimm forest. I think it's just a lot of fairy tales.
Like BP just said, there's so many Grimm stories. Like I feel like he could have kept it to those. BP, how about the art?
You know, so I wanted to say this at the beginning of the game, but I know I try to save my comments now to the end. I thought it was actually really well done and really captured, if we're talking about theme, the theme of fairy tales, at least in general. Like you guys had already mentioned, each of the player boards is quite unique in their kind of presentation of a different story. Right. The Hansel and Gretel one has like a pot, a big, you know, cauldron at the bottom, and then like a big lollipop, some cupcakes, right? With a house with a fire just off the side of the woods. Everything's clear too on what it's supposed to indicate. And then the friends are all kind of like dark, even like Red Riding Hood, although she's smiling, like, I don't know, it's got that kind of eerie sense to it, like foreboding that's going to take place, which I feel like is the whole theme behind the fairy tales, right?
This box art is one of my favorites while I was kind of looking through box art one day, I guess. So their box art is really good. And then I think the kind of the cards and the player boards and everything kind of lived up to that too. It has kind of a whimsical look to it, as well as, like you said, like kind of some of the cards are kind of creepy.
Well, I was going to say, yeah, I feel like the art, like I could see this in all this art in like a kid's, you know, Hans Christian Andersen, Grimm Brothers, like fairy tale books, even though like when you read the, like, you know, I feel like some of them have been like dumbed down pretty good, but like Myths and Legends, when he goes through and talks about like, here's the actual story of Hansel and Gretel, you're just like, oh my God, like that's so bad. Like these stories were not terrible. Like, friendly. And so like I feel like the art,
well, they're just not Disney.
Yeah, they're
and the point wasn't to be Disney about them, you know.
Yeah, but I feel like this art could go either, like I could see this in a like today's kid friendly version of the fairy tale, and I could also see it in a like, here's the real story, like more meant for like an older crowd. I feel like this art could go either way, because you know, it's just, you know, on the edge of like fun and whimsical, and then like you guys said, there's also aspects of it where it's like, well, that's a creepy looking Red Riding Hood.
I also really like kind of like the card, like the back of the card layout where they kind of look like books. Like that's a really cool design. A lot of cool design stuff in here. All right, how about mechanics, Kiwi?
Going back and looking at the mechanics, we've got set collection, which definitely saw that with trying to build the houses. Simultaneous action collection or action selection, which
is the gather phase,
came up a couple times. Yeah, during the gather phase came up a couple times, but I think for the most part, like we went where we went, and there was only that one turn where we all played monster cards where it like really mattered where we went. And then you guys just kept going to the same place because you're basically the same person. And then I thought the take that, like it added, I think somebody said it during the game, like it added just enough chaos where it wasn't just like a mindless, I go here, you go there, we take this, like the take that with the fable cards was pretty fun too. So I thought the mechanics worked well for the story or the theme and the rules.
Yeah, I really like the kind of the chaos element. Like I think I played some swapping cards and everyone kind of ended up in different spots. And
Well, the best was you and BP played the same swapping card. Yeah. So you ended up swapping, and then BP was able to swap, but she swapped with me and ended up with the same exact location.
Yeah. So, yeah, I like the fable cards. There's a lot of take that. Everything kind of worked against me, but that's fine. So I like kind of the element of chaos in it, which I think fits the theme too, you know, just sort of, and then the general kind of building piece of it, of collecting resources and building, is straightforward. And I think it works.
I mean, take that with us is always fun because we always want to use it against Kiwi. Sometimes it worked this game and sometimes it didn't.
It didn't. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of the fun of take that, is like, you know, especially I like that it's not just like I can attack you and I just attack you. It was more like I tried to go after Kiwi and it, you know, it had a chance of totally backfiring, or which I think is a more interesting version of take that than just like, okay, I destroy your building. I could try to, but it wasn't guaranteed, which I think is more fun.
Yeah, I think, you know, for games of take that with people who maybe generally don't care for that because, you know, that's not their play style or how they like to play, I feel like this is a game where it's, you know, you can't, it says take that, but you can't really plan to do take that because it could end up anyway.
See, I think that would make the take that people even, or people who don't enjoy take that, even more frustrated, because I couldn't guarantee what was going to happen. If I were one of those players and I kept playing things that like backfired against me, I feel like they would hate it even more.
Oh, like Yokohama guy.
Yeah. Like if he was like, my plan this round is to do this, and if I played the cards and that didn't happen, like, I think that's the complaint, is that the reason those kind of people don't like take that is that they want to plan out their turn and it goes exactly as planned. And if there's take that, then potentially BP could stop my plan from happening. But in this case, you know, my take that could also impact my turn too, because like I'm going to disrupt Kiwi and then it didn't happen. So there's still that same kind of frustration. So I think that's, you know, players who don't enjoy take that or kind of aspects would still be frustrated by that, I think.
Yeah, that makes sense.
For the rules, how is the card wording?
I think there was a lot at times. I mean, eventually we kind of got down the rhythm. And I mean, having the little action card that you flipped over for each of the phases, but like for the build phase, we totally overlooked because there were so many different things on there that we totally overlooked, even though it was sitting right there on the card, the gain a friend. I think when we were also, again, like some of the rules Kiwi had to go back and look up because of the how the reveal worked in the gather phase for the fable cards, we were also doing incorrectly. So while I think the art makes it look very clear and some aspects of the cards help in executing the rules, I think there were just also a lot on some of the cards. It's also, again, first impressions and going through it. I think we would have obviously cleaned up the rules and play order as we play a second time. But
right for the first try, Kiwi on the rule book and
all the rule book's really well laid out. It's got a lot of really good examples, and then you know the questions that we had on cards, I never had to Google anything because they're one of the, this is one of those games where they know they have a lot of cards to select from. So they have additional information to try and help explain how each card works.
So which is great. Which
is when we did the wishing well, that was easy. And I think Big Bad Wolf, we also had a question on. So like, but those are right in the rule book. So I didn't have to Google anything or go anywhere else. It was all there. Well laid out, good examples. I thought it was a good rule book.
But we did have a couple screw ups in it.
Yeah. And I think that's mostly just a combination of, I think it comes in with, I've trying to teach a game that I've never played before. So if I don't have all the rules down, like I can miss stuff. Like, and it's the same thing, I had a character card that, by the end of the game, I shouldn't have had anymore, but I was even forgetting to do those things on my player card.
I think which goes back to my point card. Is there was kind of a lot going on. Not that I think taking stuff out would have made the game more or less fun, but I think that's just like, again, there was a lot going on with all of the cards and all of the rotation and rules and mechanics. So, right.
I mean, it's not necessarily a lot compared to like a heavy game, like Great Western Trail a lot, but for kind of lightness of the game, there was kind of more things to remember than you kind of would expect.
Right.
I think.
Yeah.
Player interaction. So obviously there's a ton of it. I think every round you're thinking, where are they going to go? Where should I go? So there's the whole sort of kind of deduction of like, okay, well, there's a lot of weed out there, so I should go do that. And it's not wheat. What is it? Straw.
Straw. Yeah. Which I think comes from.
Yeah. All right. So there's kind of like the whole deduction thing of trying to figure out what other people are going to do. Then there's the fable cards, which is where you're actually trying to like impact other people. So there's a lot of player interaction. I was definitely focused on what everyone was doing and trying to kind of think it through.
Yeah, I feel like with Take That, when you throw that mechanic in there, you do want to be paying a little bit more attention to where everybody is. And I think there was enough of it in the game, again, especially for the style that we like, that, you had to not just keep up on what everybody was doing, but also trying to think of what they wanted to do so you could thwart them. And
I don't think it's just adding Take That creates player interaction, because we've had some where it's like, here's a card drafter that has this one thing that affects somebody else. And you're like, it doesn't fit. But this whole game is kind of designed around like, trying to figure out what other people are doing and then manipulate that situation. So I think that's why it works. And I think that's why some people are frustrated with Take That, is that, if it's not this kind of game and it's just like, here's a puzzle game, solve it by yourself. But like, I'm thinking that one Roll and Write we played where you just rotate your
penny papers, I think,
and somebody draws on it. But it's like the rest of that game is entirely like self-contained. And then suddenly somebody can mess up your plan. That's not good. Take That to me. The whole game kind of needs to be around sort of figuring out what everyone's doing.
Yeah, I agree. I felt like, we were talking throughout the whole thing. I feel like in some of these games and like the way we do the podcast, I end up paying attention to the games a lot more just because I'm trying to run it.
Right.
So I feel like, my player interaction level for a lot of the games that we play is different than your guys's.
That's not interacting because of the game. That's just
correct. Right. Yeah. But sometimes I think I perceive the player interaction slightly differently than you guys do because of that.
That's true. Yep.
But I agree with all the stuff you said. I feel like I was paying attention to everybody's board a bunch, trying to figure out, you know, some of the Fable cards, like Eric said, you know, you're trying to manipulate the situation to work the best for you and trying to figure out what you think other people are going to do. But at the same time, it's not really like, I'm going to play this card because it's going to get me what I want. It's I'm going to play this card in the hopes that it will get me what I want, because there's no guarantee, because you don't know what other people are playing.
Would you play it again, BP?
Yeah, I would.
That's okay. Yes.
I would also play again.
Yeah, we also figured that already, Kiwi.
Yeah, well, that's why I went last.
If there's a if we ever come across a game that BP and I would play and Kiwi would not, the world's gonna end. I think that's the first sign of apocalypse, right?
Well, we know that, like, statistically, I'm gonna play more games.
Right.
But okay, so why I would play it again is, one, I want to try out the friend cards a little bit more, since we got into that a little later. And I mean, I guess kind of along the same lines as like Eric's interest in some of these games, try to create a little bit more chaos, you know, and thwarting other people's play might be fun.
Yeah, I think it's different than a lot of stuff we've played lately. Like,
yeah,
we haven't had anything that's been this kind of like, not the same as Sheriff of Nottingham, but I would put it as kind of the similar kind of like heavy player interaction.
Yeah, I think this is a game that, you know, I wouldn't add it to the collection, but I think if we had a bunch of people at a board game cafe and there were four of us and it was there, like, this is a game where I'd be like, hey, this is a good game. We should play it.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I think I would definitely play it in a situation like that. Yeah. But I don't think I would purchase it and add it just because of that replayability that you talk about. I feel like, you know, once you play it a couple times, the games are going to be very similar. And the only way to change up the game would be to play with different people.
Right. I would say playing the group is going to heavily impact whether this is enjoyable. Like, there's a lot of groups that this would not be fun with.
All right.
Well, I think Sheriff of Nottingham, I think games with a lot of player interaction, you know, you brought up Sheriff of Nottingham. I think your experience playing that game is always going to be dictated by the type of people you play with.
Exactly. That is Grim Forest.
Well, if you have any of your favorite Take That games or a favorite fairy tale recommendations that you would like to send our way, we would love to hear from you either via email or Twitter, Instagram. The email is firstturntabletop@gmail.com, or our handle is @firstturncast for the Twitter and Instagram. And the podcasting camel says, don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe on your favorite podcatchers. No, I am not going to sound like Kiwi trying to impersonate me. But we hope to hear from you soon, and be sure to play more games.
Yeah, thanks for listening to this Myths and Legends companion podcast. We think too much alike, and it's gonna let Kiwi win, and that really annoys me.
'Kay, and at that point I have 3 houses, so the game is over. 'Little pig, little pig, come out and play.'